Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch My Drift here at Wham! Talk 1600. You can call into the show, 734-822-1600. Love to get your comments and opinions or questions. Not that I have answers, mind you, but your questions are certainly always welcome. What we do on the Drift is go over the news we put on the Daily Drift. And if you're not going to the Daily Drift, you should be. www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. So make sure you're going over there. And if you find a link to a story on the internet that I've missed, please email it to me, gary@thedailydrift.com. And you can send me your comments that way as well if you don't feel like calling into the show. And I do a little morning rant every morning for 6 to 10 minutes. You can catch that also at thedailydrift.com. Go up and hit the top of the webpage there. You'll see it. So they're short. Good way to get in the morning. The quality's not always that good because I'm broadcasting live from my car as I drive to work. So it's kind of fun. You can also catch archives of this show at ICRN, conservativeradionetwork.com, and on Spreaker and YouTube and SoundCloud, the whole nine yards. So it's all out there. Easy to find. I'm the easiest man in the world to find, actually. Let's take care of a little business. Burroughs Roadhouse. If you're looking for a comedy show, the best comedy show in Livingston County, make sure you get out to Burroughs Roadhouse. You can call them, 810-227-6000. They have the greatest steak dinners. They've got a bunch of coupons and stuff in the Current newspaper. If you don't have a copy of the Current, go online, print it off, and take it to them. Tell them you saw it in the Current and that you heard it here on the radio. So they've got some great lunch specials. They do great steaks. They've got just some really good coupons. You can also go to Burroughs, Burroughs-Roadhouse.com, 810-227-6000. Okay, so we got a lot to cover today, and of course we're going to get into the Trump and the Cruz debate, and I've been debating all morning with people on Twitter, which is always kind of fun, and it's good for the show and everything else, but definitely a fun time. So if you're not on social media this election, please make sure you do. Go out and give it a try. You've got nothing to lose. Get on Facebook. And if you're one of those people like me who likes the immediate gratification and the instant banter with other people, try Twitter. It's really easy. It takes a few minutes, but you'll get used to it. And you know what? You don't have to be rude to people just because you disagree with them. So it's easy. Just remember, you know, it's all for fun. Get out and relax. Have a little fun on your social media. But before we get into that, I want to talk about Hillary Clinton and the email probe first, because it seems like I always save this to the end and we end up getting sidetracked. And I'm not doing my job if we're not hitting Hillary Clinton a little bit. So Attorney General Loretta Lynch said there's no deadline for concluding the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server, and said setting a deadline would only make the probe less thorough. I think that's politispeak for we're going to wait until after the election to charge Hillary. Now, what does that say about us as a nation when we're willing to set aside an investigation that may show this woman to be criminal? She's done at least as bad a thing as General Petraeus, who was convicted. Okay, he was convicted. That should preclude her from running for office, and yet it's set aside. The FBI has got a major, and this is, make no mistake about it, folks, this is indeed a major investigation. And yet Loretta Lynch likes to say, people have to have confidence that we treat every case the same, no matter whose last name is involved and no matter how much publicity it gets. Really? Dirk, do you think she's getting a special treatment on this? Tell me. Come on. Be honest. Huh?
Yeah, I think she is.
Yeah, of course she is. She's getting way too much special treatment here. And maybe, you know, I'd like to believe that they want to make sure they've got a hard cut case so they can knock her right out of the election and let Bernie have his spotlight. But you know what? It's not going to happen. This is just a game. The only thing that we can hope for is that Bill keeps going off the rails and saying nasty things about Obama and the Obama administration, that eventually Obama's going to cut loose the dogs and say, go ahead and charge her. I'm tired of the Clintons and what they've been saying about my legacy. So you'll see that happening. I wanted to get that out there. And make sure if you find some stories about Hillary, and there's a lot of it out there, make sure you email it to me, gary@thedailydrift.com. I also wanted to talk about school spending. Now, last week we had Robert Geiske on from the GOP in Washtenaw County, and he was telling us about the millage coming up on May 3rd. That's this week, folks. If you are here in Washtenaw County, Washtenaw Intermediate School District is asking for a big chunk of change, like $22 million over 10 years. And they're ostensibly saying that this is for the handicapped kids and blah, blah, blah. Well, Bob told us last week the number of handicapped kids does not amount to the amount that they need, and that they're just shoveling more money into this. And we've said this before, you're putting so much money. I think we're 26 in the nation, in the world, for results as far as our education system here in the United States, and yet we're number one in spending, and that's odd. Now, there was a report I put up on the Daily Drift the other day. The U.S. spends $6 billion, that's $6 billion with a B, a year on education, but a very large majority of high school seniors are not, get this, not college ready. Despite the fact that the U.S. spends more than $600 billion per year on education, the 2015 National Assessment of Educational Progress, NAEP, also known as the nation's report card, shows that 26% in 2013 were not significantly different in mathematics than 2015. It's down, actually, by 1%. And that reading is also dropped from 38 to 37%. So we're spending more money, and the results are getting worse. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is that? And it's not all about the teachers. Come on. We all know that. Part of it is parents. Obviously, parents aren't like in the old days where they made us sit down and get your homework done before you start playing outside or doing whatever. But a lot of it is what they're teaching in school. They're now getting into the crazy stuff like they do at college. They're teaching socialism. They're teaching things that don't matter. You know what? Your high school and junior high and elementary should be pretty doggone basic. Civics, truthful history, math, science, and English. You know what? I'd love to see more young kids speak English, not this crazy, and it's not just Ebonics anymore. It's the kids from the suburbs are doing the same old thing. They're talking like garbage. You know what? You are American citizens. Speak like you have an educational level of a junior high or high school person. You know what? You don't have to I'm guilty as anybody when it comes to swearing. I have the mouth of a sailor when I'm at home. But you know what? Pick yourselves up out of the gutter and learn to speak proper English. If you ever want to get a job, and I tell this to my son all the time as well, if you want to get a job, you better learn to speak right. You better learn to act right. You better be able to say hello and do all those things that you need to do to be socially acceptable. Because you know what? The competition for jobs is tough. Very tough. And it's getting tougher all the time because why? We bring 1 million people into the country every year. People who have better educational levels than us, obviously. So it doesn't matter. You can't always throw money at these things and think it's going to be the solution. It's not. If we're number one in spending and number 26 in results, obviously money is not the issue. I know some teachers are probably out there hating me. There's Gary ranting about it's not just you teachers. I'm not blaming you. It's the system. And I would heartily endorse all people to take a good look at charter school systems. You know what? We've got Livingston Classical Academy out here going into Livingston County this upcoming fall. Great place. Call Pat Battaglia out there. Those guys are awesome. They do a great job. They follow the Hillsdale College theme when it comes to education. It's that classic education that you don't get anywhere else. Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get right into the Cruz and Trump debate and the Indiana primary, which is on Tuesday. So we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Finding a good mechanic is like finding a good barber or a good doctor. When you find one, you don't go anyplace else. Japanese Auto Professional Service of Ann Arbor at 563 South Main Street are the mechanics you'll go back to time and time again, providing reliable, dependable, and guaranteed auto repair and service for Honda, Toyota, Nissan, Subaru, Kia, Hyundai, any make and model. Japanese Auto Professional Service of Ann Arbor will do it right the first time, every time. It's no small wonder that Jay, Joe, and crew have been in business since 1979. They've built a solid and loyal customer base, and once you visit them, you'll find out why. It's more important now than it has ever been to provide excellent customer service and care, and that's just what you get at Japanese Auto Professional Service of Ann Arbor. And they don't cost an arm or a leg. They're beyond reasonably priced. Japanese Auto Professional Service of Ann Arbor. Schedule your first visit today. Call Japanese Professional Auto Service of Ann Arbor today, 734-996-4606. That's 734-996-4606.
What kind of a country turns its tax collectors into secret police? And what do you call a government that values its own survival above the rights of its people? A country where leaders act like mob bosses, attacking citizens with rules and restrictions they fear they'll never have the power to overcome. Where the content of your prayers is between you, your God, and your government. Our nation of laws is becoming a nation of corruption, where whoever has the power throws their punches while they can. Everyone loses under this type of lawlessness. So we must do now what we've always done as Americans. As good guys, speak out. No government agency has the right to attack its citizens with fear. We are the 5 million men and women of the National Rifle Association of America, leaders in the fight for freedom for all. Join us.
Hey, could you give me a ride to the airport?
Sorry, I've already got plans.
But I haven't even told you what day yet.
Does this sound familiar? The only worst question is, can you help me move? Nobody wants to help you move. And nobody wants to take you to the airport. Except, of course, Jeff Vega of Vega Transportation. Jeff's been doing this for more than a decade and knows how to make you arrive in style, on time, at the right place, 24/7. Call Jeff Vega at Vega Transportation today at 810-227-6500. That's 810-227-6500.
This is Pastor Sean Todd, the Rockin' Rev from Ignite Church. Join us every Sunday afternoon from 12 to 12:30 p.m. for The Intersection, where Christ crosses culture, as we discuss topics pertaining to faith, culture, politics, and scripture. So join me, Pastor Sean of Ignite Church, on The Intersection every Sunday afternoon from 12 to 12:30 p.m. right here on WHAM Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on WHAM Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch my drift here at WHAM Talk 1600. Good to have you along for the ride. And we're talking some news this week. Ted Cruz, oddly enough, named his VP beginning of the week, shortly after taking a beating in the Northeast primaries from Donald Trump, who took all five states and actually every county within those states. So it was a huge, huge victory for Trump, and it wasn't unexpected. I don't, Cruz didn't plan on doing very well, and but Kasich thought he would do a little better. Kasich is not doing very good at all. And he named for his vice presidential pick one Carly Fiorina, which some of us liked at the beginning a little bit. It's not that I detest the woman, but I think she bowed out when she had less than 1%. So I'm not sure that Cruz is really making a great pick in Carly Fiorina, but you know what? If he's trying to get a little news and trying to garner a little feminine support or woman votes, maybe it was a good move for him. But oddly enough, this is strange that he would pick not only so early, it's just not the way it's done. And Dirk, do we have track one available there? Okay, I want you to listen to this. And then near the end, I also want you to listen to what Carly says, because I think it'll hit you kind of strange. Let's go with that track.
Welcome back to The Real Story. Ted Cruz grabbing headlines by naming Fiorina as his pick for VP. But let's talk about how the VP candidate actually gets picked at a contested convention. First, at a normal convention, the presidential candidates get a roll call vote, and then the VP gets a simple voice vote. But if there's a contested convention, things are more formal, and more than 2,300 delegates are bound to a presidential candidate for at least one round of voting, for the most part. But that's never the case for the VP. All 2,472 delegates are unbound when it comes to nominating a VP, meaning they can vote for whomever they want, and it's not tied to the presidential pick. So even if Cruz and Fiorina want to run together, one of them could end up on the ticket, leaving the other one behind. So, just days after Ted Cruz and John Kasich tried to unite to stop Donald Trump from winning the GOP nomination, some possible signs of trouble in their alliance. Kasich's team saying earlier this week they'll focus their energy on elections in Oregon and New Mexico, while Cruz can concentrate on Indiana. Cruz's newly named running mate offering some harsh advice, though, to Kasich.
Yes, he's racking up delegates, so is Ted Cruz. I actually think the person you should be asking this question to is John Kasich. He didn't get the memo. When you can't win, you need to get out.
Okay, so when you can't win, you need to get out. Let's just start with that one right off the bat. Really? If you mathematically can't win like John Kasich and Ted Cruz, why do they both have to get out? Well, they don't, is the point, and neither one of them have, even though they're both mathematically precluded from being able to get 1,237 votes or delegates for the before the convention. A little hypocrisy on Carly's part. You would think she would know better than to even make that kind of a statement. But let's get back to the beginning. It's rare that you actually get a clip that has so much in it like this one, but here we go. So you don't think Ted Cruz and his crew knew these rules about voting for the VP at the convention in July down in Cleveland? You don't think Ted, you think it was just a mistake on Ted's part? Not a chance, folks. Not a chance. This is a Ted Cruz maneuver to get some women vote, to get some headlines, to try and get Carly on board with him. And maybe Carly doesn't understand. But, you know, for Cruz, it's a no-brainer. He's got nothing to lose. If he doesn't want Carly, he just goes behind the scenes, House of Cards style, and has people vote her off his ticket if she's going to be some kind of a drag on his general election, should he get it. I don't believe, frankly, that Ted Cruz is going to be able to win the primary, even on a second or third vote at this point. Donald Trump is now at, what, 1,002 delegates, putting him 235 away from the nomination. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense that Cruz would do this, because you know what? He's not a dumb guy. We all know Cruz. And if it came down to a Hillary or Cruz, listen, I'm still with you. I'll probably vote Cruz. If there's a third party to go for, that's a different story. But a Cruz or a Hillary, I know who I'm voting for. Don't trust either one of them, but I'm going to go vote for the guy that I believe has the Constitution in his best interest. So I'm not knocking Cruz for that. We've said this all along. He was my number one guy for a little while, and since Iowa, I've really lost my flavor for Ted Cruz. I don't like the actions. I think he's taken on and done things that, you know what, the average politician would do. This is not what an outsider would do. I don't know. He just seems a little too inside. I don't like it, and he's lost me as a big supporter. And I think you guys that have listened to the show know that I gave Ted a lot of support in the beginning, absolutely a lot. So it's not that I hate Ted Cruz. I don't hate the man. He's not my number one choice. It's that simple. So what you got to look at is what the reasons, and I think all these candidates, and that includes Trump. You guys know I'm a Trump supporter, but you know what? Everything everybody does has some kind of an agenda to it. So look beyond the headlines and look beyond looking at a women's vote and doing this. I think there's something else going on there. Oh, and there we go. See, we know the phone lines just light up when we talk Trump and Cruz. Ed from Ypsilanti, welcome aboard, Ed. Glad to have you call.
Hey, I just want to know, is this the part where I'm supposed to tune you out and find something else on another channel?
No, because you always call in and then give your side of the – and I always give it to you, don't I?
Well, it just gets a little bit old. I mean, I really enjoyed the Hillary stuff you were talking about, and I really enjoyed – you know, I listened to a recording of last week. I didn't get to listen live, but I really enjoyed listening about Geis and the school stuff. And, yes, we disagree on Trump and Cruz, but – my goodness, just all the time.
Now you know how I feel about Hugh Hewitt in the morning.
Oh, man.
So there you go. I'm only 1 hour a week.
Oh, good. There's something we can talk about. Let's talk about Hugh Hewitt. Maybe that's something we agree on. Wow, what an egotistical.
Okay, well, I'm not the only one. But he's a big Cruz guy. You don't like Ted? You don't like...
He's Switzerland.
yeah, no, not a chance. He is the biggest of Cruz supporters.
Do you really take him? I've been getting a Cruz lean out of him. Yes, I have. But until then, I thought he was handling pretty fair-minded. It's just, man, the guy never takes... I loved it when Mark Davis came on and we heard some you know, caller input without being cut off after 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, Mark was in rare form this week. I'm still listening. Even though I complain and say, I'm not going to listen to you who it in the morning, I'm still listening. Why wouldn't I?
It's informative. It's still informative.
Yes, it's informative. It is. I just don't like his delivery. I'm like you. I think he's a little too, you know, if I have to hear his biography one more time about he's this, he's that, he's, and whatever. I understand he's an educated guy and blah, blah, blah. But yes, I do learn something, so I force myself to listen. I just have to. But yeah, you know me. Ed, I think you and I are on the same page. I'm going to still vote for Cruz if it's a Hillary Cruz thing. I don't believe by any stretch of the imagination that he's going to win the primary. And if he did by some chance, despite my vote, he's still not going to win the general election. But have you made up your mind? If Trump's the guy, are you going in?
If Trump's the guy, I still have a decision to make, okay? I do. I feel that way. And let me reiterate, I am not convinced Trump will make the right decisions on SCOTUS still, which is the big deal, okay? That's the biggest deal right there among many. And I am, once again, and I've felt this way for over a year now, not convinced that he would not be a strong man and actually a bane to the Constitution to the same degree as Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, well,
I am not convinced of that.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I don't hear him ever talk about limiting himself to the Constitution.
Yeah, that's a fact. And the only thing that I don't worry about that, Ed, is the fact that I know Mitch McConnell and I know Paul Ryan have the guts to stand up against another Republican. They just don't have the guts to stand up to a Democrat. So I'm not worried about it because I know... am I wrong? They can't stand up to Obama. They won't stand up to Hillary. But I know they'll stand up to Trump because they've shown along they're standing up to Trump.
Okay, and you know, that begs the question, who's the one Republican candidate right now who has ticked off the establishment more than anybody else so much because he caused that one establishment character to resign from his position as Speaker of the House?
Well, I think Ted Cruz. I think you're giving Ted a lot more credit than he deserves on that. I think the entire country was giving Mr. Boehner, who I've no friend of mine. He had some funny stuff to say this week, but I don't know that having Boehner say what he did, and we're going to play that track in a few minutes. I don't know that him saying that hurts Cruz by any means, because I think Boehner is pretty hated across the country, you know.
Oh, yeah, that should be an endorsement.
Well, so before I let you go, then let me ask you this. Allegedly, Trump is going to name his X number of people that he will consider for SCOTUS in the next couple of weeks here. If you are happy with those...
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, he's supposed to be doing that. If you're happy with those picks, does that mean you'll be able to make your decision yes or no for supporting Trump?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
He's the nomination. I still don't think he's going to be the best nominee. If we can get Cruz, I think he'll be a better nominee, but I am not yet a never Trump.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I'm the same with you. I know Ted Cruz is allegedly the most constitutional conservative guy, right? Agree, 100%. Some of the things he's done since Iowa make me believe that he's not all who he says he is, A. And
okay.
B, he's not, if you can't win the primary, there's no way in hell you're going to win a general election. That's just common sense. There's just no, I don't care what those likability polls say, because Trump's got high unfavorable polls. So did Ronald Reagan back in the day. So I just, it doesn't make any sense. Common sense is common sense. If you can't win a primary, there's no way you're going to win a general election. That's me, though.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Love you, man.
You too, man.
Talk to you later.
Take care. Thanks. All right. Let's take a call from Jane in Roseville. Jane, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Where's Brandon?
Brandon is probably out enjoying the weekend. He decides to take days off once in a while. He's got a life. Gary doesn't have a life. I spend all my time doing politics, right?
No, no. Well, Gary, I was just like, I've been listening to you the past week or two, or a few weeks anyways, and I've listened to you. You know,
hey, Jane.
Whenever I can.
Jane, hold tight. Jane, hold tight. I'm going to pick you up after the break. We ran into the bottom of the break. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to bring you in right after the break, okay?
Okay.
Don't hang up. I want to hear what you got to say.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Hugh Hewitt, Glenn Beck, Bayron X, and Dana Lesh. They stay tuned in for Fox News updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Republican presidential hopefuls vying for votes in California, where the state's GOP convention is being held in Burlingame. Donald Trump and John Kasich spoke there yesterday. Ted Cruz today. After the West Coast campaigning, the attention turns to Tuesday's primary.
Everybody's back to Indiana because the fight for the Hoosier state is very critical this year. That could make the difference between whether Donald Trump gets a majority of delegates before the convention or if they have to go to a floor fight in July.
Fox's John Roberts. Former President Bill Clinton stumping in Kokomo, Indiana, saying Hillary Clinton
disapproves of all this blanket condemnation of Muslim Americans. Most of them are moderate, freedom-loving, and terror-hating, and we need them to help us win this battle.
And a woman's died after being hit by a sightseeing duck boat in downtown Boston earlier today. Fox News, we report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Michigan may be voting to legalize marijuana in the November 2016 general election. Come to participate in a pro-con discussion featuring Jeffrey A. Hank, Lansing attorney and executive director of the ballot group MI Legalize, and Chief Robert Stevenson, retired executive director, Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police. It'll be at the Plymouth Community Forum Tuesday, May 3rd at Plymouth District Library, 223 South Main Street in Plymouth. It'll take place from 7 to 8:45 p.m. The Dawn Farm Education Series is designed to provide helpful information in place of the misinformation, secrecy, shame, and stigma that prevent people with addiction and their families from getting help and getting well. Cultivating Mindfulness to Support Recovery will be presented on Tuesday, May 17th. The Recovering Body will be presented on Tuesday, May 24th, and In the Doctor's Office, Recovery Friend or Foe, will be presented on Tuesday, May 31st. All presentations take place from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center Auditorium, 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti. Admission is free. For more information, call 734-485-8725 or visit dawnfarm.org. Habitat for Humanity of Huron Valley helps local low-income families obtain the dream of homeownership for themselves and their families. To learn more, call 734-677-1558 or visit www.h4h.org. That's H, the number 4, H.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch my drift. And before we get into the calls again, let's take care of a little sponsor this half hour. First National Bank of Howell, 734-449-7242. If you're in Genoa Township, Heartland, Howell, Whitmore Lake, Fowlerville, Brighton area, community banking is a must. And First National Bank of Howell is the place to do your banking. So give them a call at 734-449-7242, or you can go to the website, www.fnbh.com. And they're located, the branch closest to me, right at US 23 and 9 Mile, which is M36. Call Angie McFarland, 734-449-7242. Okay, well, we were talking about Trump and Cruz and everything else, and we've got a Jane on line two. Jane, sorry for keeping you waiting. Go ahead, Jane.
Okay, Gary, thanks. I love your show, and I've been listening to it for a long time now. Several years ago, or a couple years, I guess before the whole election started, you were on there talking with Brandon about elections and voting, talking about how, you know, it's never a good idea to go for the third party.
Yep.
Automatically giving your vote to one of the other parties. So when I just heard you a few minutes ago say, well, you know, depends, there's a third party, you know, if it's between, you know, if Trump doesn't get it. I mean, that just seemed to kind of go against what you normally say.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just sitting there, I'm thinking, well, are you drinking too much of the Trump Kool-Aid or what?
No, it's not, because I would say the same, because here's what I believe is happening finally. And this election, for odd reason, why we've never noticed before, I think the curtains have been pulled back on the Democratic side and on the Republican side. And let's step back and take a real close look at really what's happening in this country. I never even noticed it before myself. This country is actually run by two private entities, the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee. Those are two private organizations that are basically telling us, the voters, who to vote for. Now, I still firmly believe that at the GOP convention in Cleveland, they're going to pull a fast one. It doesn't matter whether it's Cruz or Trump on top. I think they're both going to get disqualified. I think my thought is that unless Trump can somehow solidify some of that establishment, people behind him, and the ones, the establishment that are saying they're with Cruz, I believe they're using him. And if it's not a Trump or a Cruz coming out of this election, I think that the GOP just needs to end. Because you know what? The voters, between Trump and Cruz, you've got 80%. And at this point, yeah. I don't know that I trust Ted Cruz anymore. I really, you if you've listened to the show, you know how much time I gave him early on. And part of me wants to believe, but there's some things that he's done that
Are you so how are you having a hard time trusting Cruz, but yet you trust Trump so much?
Well, because you know what, Donald is who he said he's not changed. He's an enigma. You don't always know where he stands, but you know what, he hasn't changed. He's been the flip floppy moderate type of guy all the way along. He's been kind of crazy. My expectation of Donald is what it is. My expectation for Cruz, right from the get-go, that he was going to be the most upstanding, forthright guy that you can imagine. And what started with me was Iowa. Mm-hmm. When he pulled the game with Ben Carson in Iowa, granted, Ben Carson probably had nowhere to go anyways, but he's the most moral guy in the race, and what he did to him in Iowa bothered me. The other thing in Iowa that bothered me was the letters he sent out, which, frankly, the Secretary of State of Iowa said is a misdemeanor. He put out some letters that were like, you're in violation, blah, blah, blah. They looked like official government letters, and they weren't. They were campaign literature. And the same thing happened in South Carolina. And it wasn't until South Carolina where Ted actually fired somebody over that. And I think,
everything I heard was that, I mean, you know, they've got all of these people campaigning for him out there, and I just don't think it was ever shown that these things came directly from him.
You got
people on for all these guys doing crazy things. You know, people take it upon themselves.
Ted said himself, it starts at the top. The top is responsible for what he does, and so Ted should have taken it upon himself to fire somebody once it was, because we've played him on this show. We've played the phone calls that came from the Cruz, and it was proved it came from Cruz camp phones. He should have fired probably two or three people. He finally only fired the one guy, and allegedly, I've seen a report that he didn't really fire him. He's still involved. But anyways, there's a number of things that have stacked up. The Goldman Sachs thing, I mean, come on. Ted ran for Senate. He should have known. It's just a number of things that add up over time for me that I mean, don't believe he is who he says he is.
They're all going to have their things where, you know, we're never going to, you know, be 100% with anyone, you know?
Oh, absolutely. But, and I'm not 100% with Donald either. Trust me.
Yeah, but to me, like, Donald has, like, he has gone, like you said, flip-flop, but But, I mean, I'd like to at least be able to pull out something from him that he doesn't change his mind on or that's true.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like he's all, so we're going to vote for him. But, I mean, I want someone to say at least it's something that they mean.
Yeah.
You know
but
what I mean?
I do believe.
Anything that he means.
Yeah, I do believe that Donald Trump will go full on to get the wall built, to cut down on immigration or stop it. He probably can't stop it, but at least cut it down, to build our national defense, get the money back to the military where it belongs. We're in the most dangerous time in history, despite what Barack Obama says. And I believe Donald Trump on those things, on the social issues, on the other things. He's a flip-flopper, and you know what? Frankly, for me, I don't care. It may surprise some people that actually I'm a social moderate. There are a lot of things that I'm a libertarian,
well,
I guess you would call me. I don't care about those things. All I care about is the survival of the country for my children. I want my children to have the same opportunities. And that means cutting the border.
It starts with the social things, though. The social things drive everything else. I mean, think about it. I mean, we've got the government trying to change the definition of marriage, trying to change, force, what they call diversity, which is really not diversity, really turned around and discriminating against people.
Well,
I
absolutely. That's huge.
But I mean, I'm just saying, you can't do away. You can't just ignore the social aspects, because those things are driving a lot of government policy, laws, you name it.
Yeah, I'll only disagree there because, you know what, if we don't close the border, if we don't stop immigration, if you don't stop immigration, I'll say this right now, here's probably the biggest thing. If you don't stop 1 million people a year who don't have our cultural values from coming here, our cultural values will be washed out. We're going to become like the rest of them. You know, we're going just like Europe.
But I agree with that, but I also think that pretty much every candidate, pretty much every Republican candidate we had up there feels the same way about that.
Yeah,
I feel like that they're all pretty much on board that something needs to be done with that.
But in the end, can they get elected?
We all have addressed.
Yeah. What you always have to remember is, what is the most conservative candidate who fits most of you? You're never going to, like you said, never going to get 100%.
Right.
Who is the one that's most like your views? But the caveat is, can they get elected? And you got to remember, whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, this is now a left-center country. We're a moderate country, and a lot of the views that a guy like Cruz has, and that's why he's not winning the primary, a lot of the views that Cruz has are so far to the right that people don't like him. You know, and we could go into it. Don't get me wrong, I would still vote for Cruz if it's him or her.
But his views are just, there's right and wrong, and he's basically answered it. Whereas Trump has said, Trump has taken both sides of it. So I guess basically you're telling me that, if you feel close to Trump, you're picking out the time he said one thing versus the time he said the opposite.
I'm picking the guy that is on trade, immigration, and national security, border security, is the guy that fits my needs and can get elected. Ted may be able to do some of those things, but he can't get elected. And even if he could get elected, you still have to be able to fight the media and generate a population that will hose or call their congressmen to help motivate them to follow the president's lead. And I don't think Cruz can do that. He's just not likable enough character to do it. I'm sorry. It's not that I don't like the man personally, but there's no way he can do what he's got to do. So let me ask you this. If it's Trump, will you vote Trump?
I will.
Okay. And if it's Cruz, you're going to obviously vote Cruz.
I think Trump is a loose cannon, and I think he's arrogant. And
I agree.
I don't agree with the fact that he has taken every side of every position. And every time he's up on stage, all we ever hear about, when in these debates, all he ever talks about are his poll numbers, going to make America beautiful again or great again. Everything's going to be beautiful. The wall's going to be great. But he doesn't get into any substance of how he's going to
do
that.
But he is. His foreign policy came out already this week.
He's all over the place.
Yeah, his policy came out. He's going to have some more papers come out. Well, great, Jane. Appreciate the call, man. It was very interesting. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Gary.
You too. Take care. Derek, why don't you bring on the next caller? I forgot who it is. All right. Oh, hey, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Gee, was that Heidi Cruz?
No.
Jesus, criminy sakes. Ma'am, I hate
she
to
said
tell
she
you
would
something.
Vote Trump. Come on, give her a break. She's all right.
Listen, to the young woman, she sounds like she's just barely out of her teens. But I would tell her one thing. The most important thing in this country right now is the border. And let me ask her a question. Did she see the Mexican flags flying in Los Angeles and in San Francisco and the Viva La Raza signs and the spitting and the attack on the people that support Trump? The people that were doing this, ma'am, are the people that came across the border illegally. These are the people that are killing some of the young people and some of the elderly in this country. They're raping some of the people. They're bringing in drugs. They're basically robbing our nation. And the only one that stood up, the first one that stood up against this was Donald Trump.
That's right. And you know what, Mike? That is so important because people will say, oh, we've been talking about immigration for years.
Really?
It's not because of Trump. And I'll tell them this. No, we haven't. We've been mumbling about immigration under our breath since Reagan did amnesty way back in the day. This is bull. The guy that said this immigration is a problem and border security is a problem is Trump. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't have this discussion. It wouldn't even be talking about immigration as a major issue. Because you know what? Without Trump, you never would have heard the words come out of Jeb Bush's mouth, anchor baby. Yes.
Or Cruz's. Cruz was silent. He sat in the Senate. He was sitting there. He could have come out and said this. We need to build a wall. I want to build a wall. But he didn't. It was Donald Trump. And who was the one that brought up the Islamists in this country? Who was it? Was it Ted Cruz? No. Was it Jeb Bush? No. It was Donald Trump. Once again, Donald Trump saying, look, we're losing our country. We've lost our country, basically. And to Ed, I would simply say, you know, when you're talking about the Constitution, to those who are constitutionalists, take a good hard look. There is no Constitution left. There is no Constitution left. And where was Ted Cruz fighting for the Constitution while he was in the Senate over the last 4 years? Nowhere to be found. Neither was Rubio. Neither was Bush or Kasich or any of these guys. It is Donald Trump, basically, that is the savior of this country. He's a nationalist, and that's something that nobody likes to say. There is nothing wrong with being a nationalist. There's nothing wrong with saying America first. There is nothing wrong saying the NATO nations have to pay their way. We are supporting the rest of the world militarily, defending the rest of the world military, while our country is going broke, while our senior citizens don't have enough medical care and are losing their homes and things like this because our country is basically broke. Ted Cruz, as a president, the media would eat him up. He has no status in the Congress. They hate his guts. Donald Trump, they're afraid of him.
Yeah.
The Republican Party is afraid of Donald Trump beyond belief. And this is one of the reasons why they want to derail this thing. And this is one of the reasons why Fiorina now, you know, and Fiorina, as far as I'm concerned, is an idiot. She's being used. She's being played by Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I want to bring that up, the convention thing, because you know what? And if it plays out that way, I'm going to say, I told you so.
That's right.
You know what? If he can pick whatever VP he wants, and there was talk today of Kasich doing the same thing because it gets him a little publicity for a couple hours. If it goes to the convention and people say, you know what, Carly fired 30,000 people or laid off 30,000 people from HP. She's a big drain. She's not going to be good for the ticket. She only had 1% when she dropped out. It's not going to help us. They're going to go ahead and give him another VP. They're going to pick it. You know what I mean? Being used right now.
The simple truth was the Carly Fiorina pick was done for one thing. He needed to get some airtime.
Yep.
He has. Oh, and by the way, I heard the criticism of what's all this. Cruz isn't getting a chance on radio. Listen, you've got Hugh Hewitt. I can't stand him. I don't listen to Wham from 6 to 9 anymore. You've got the idiot Glenn Beck. I mean, this guy is insane.
Yeah.
You got Mark Levin and you got Rush Limbaugh. They're all touting Cruz. So Cruz has four of the major guys out there touting his propaganda, and he has no traction, period. Donald Cruz is basically saying, hey, look, I'll talk to the American people. I'll take my case to the American people. I have a question for those who support Cruz. The other night, Trump had 31,000 people in Los Angeles. How many people do you think Cruz can draw?
Yeah.
A couple dozen flies.
Yeah, and that's the common sense point I was trying to make, is the fact that if you cannot draw big crowds, and it takes, I think I said this like 6 months ago, if you don't have some kind of persona, celebrity persona, you can forget ever winning the presidency of the United States.
You know what Ted Cruz had? Ted Cruz had the Holy Rollers in Iowa. He had the evangelicals in Iowa. That was it. He had in Wisconsin, he had the money of the Republican Party to try to stop Trump, and he had a half a dozen talk show hosts in Wisconsin. Where has he done anything else? The only place he's done anything is in, like, Wyoming, some of these places that are going to go Republican anyways.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz couldn't carry any part of the East Coast. Donald Trump can at least force the Democrats to defend their party, defend and spend money on the East Coast. If Cruz is the nominee of the party, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You thought it was a wipeout regarding McCain. This is going to be a bigger wipeout than McCain ever was.
Absolutely.
Cruz people, just calm down, folks. The man does not have the personality. He does not have charisma. And to be honest with you, basically he's got one thing. He raises his hand, holds up the Bible, and starts talking like a Sunday preacher. Yeah. That ain't going to do it in politics, folks. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Okay.
All right. Take care. All right. So there you go. And for me, it always comes down to common sense. Here's what I believe. If Ted Cruz is so constitutional and so conservative and cares so much for the country, why is he bothering with the presidency? Why wouldn't he throw his backing behind Trump, who has obviously got the ability to beat Hillary, and say, I want the SCOTUS position. I'm sorry for the fights we've had. I'm sure Donald would be the same way, and he could be the nominee for SCOTUS to replace Antonin Scalia and protect the Constitution for the next 35 years. If you're an American and you love America, why would you not want to put yourself in a position where you can do the most good for America in the Constitution? And if Ted Cruz is all that he says he is and is a conservative constitutionalist, he should be looking to fill Antonin Scalia's shoes. That's what he should be doing, if he is who he says he is. And I don't know that he is anymore. I just feel it. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary.
What's going on, Jenny?
Great call. Great call, Mike. Anyway, I never liked Carly Fiorina. Never did. There's something wrong with this. Something wrong with it.
A lot of people didn't like Carly Fiorina. That's why she was under 1% when she dropped out.
Yeah, right. I know. I mean, it's like, what's going on here? That didn't seem right to me at all. So, and besides, that was weird that he did it now.
Yeah, I tell you, it again, it sounds like some backroom double dealing, whatever. And we can talk about this, Jenny, while you're here. You know, the beginning of the week, there was allegedly this Cruz-Kasich deal where they were going to, Kasich wasn't going to run in Indiana. He's kind of just backing away and letting Cruz take Indiana, and he was going to go work Oregon and Utah. And shortly thereafter, it started to fall apart very quickly. They both double-dealed on each other, and it didn't quite go out the way we wanted it to go, you know? So it's very, very strange that it happened that way. And one of the things that bothered me, and I pulled this off the internet today, and I verified it, shortly after that deal was allegedly cut, the Ted Cruz organization sent out a series of letters to supporters that said, this is for email distribution only. Please be cautious and only forward this email to our known Ted Cruz supporters via email.
No.
And it says, here's the situation. Tomorrow we are embarking on a very important election in Indiana, Oregon, and New Mexico. Please understand that sometimes in order to win the end game, we must be the better strategic players in this election, the most important of our time. I ask you tomorrow in Oregon and New Mexico, please continue voting for a Ted Cruz win in those states. Do not select John Kasich, as has been reported since Sunday evening. Now, you're going to send that kind of thing out right after you've allegedly cut this deal with Kasich. And we know there was some kind of a deal cut. But, it goes to showing some dishonesty. And maybe it's always been that way. It probably has been.
But it reminds me of Iowa.
Yes. It goes back once again to, you know what, this has probably happened for the last 120 years, whatever, and the internet now allows this to be seen. The curtain has been pulled back on the ugliness that is our election system. And again, remember, folks, our system is being run by two private entities. That's the Republican National Committee and the Democratic National Committee. That's Wasserman Schultz, for God's sake, on the Democrat side, and Reince Priebus on the other side. So imagine the power that cabal on either side is wielding. You know, this is the greatest country on earth, and it's being run by an oligarchy of progressives on the left and progressives on the right. I think we're finally seeing it, and that's why, you know, maybe Trump isn't the right guy. Maybe he's not the perfect candidate. There's a million things, but he's the only one that stood up and said, I understand and I feel what you're feeling. You know, I've been in there, I've seen it, and sure, it's a 50-50. 50-50 chance that he may not be any better than them. But you know what? As 100% certainty in my book, that every politician, lifelong politician, and all these other guys running are lifelong politicians. And what is a politician? They're parasites. They're working on the system. They're not going to give up what they got. And that's why you're seeing this ugliness. You know, in any other system, they would be voting for Trump and backing behind him because he's the front runner. He's got the strongest ability to beat Hillary Clinton. And yet they don't want to do it because they know things will change with Trump because he's not going to play that game.
Yeah, I'm a Christian, and I understand about the social thing. Like I said last week, I don't like what Trump stood for that day, but he did walk it back. Who knows what he really thinks about it? But you know what? I just don't think Cruz can win. I'm sorry, Cruz supporters.
I
would like him to, but I don't think he can, and he's getting mighty snarky and bitter.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when pressure comes out, people start to show their true colors. I mean, it just happens. It's not that I don't dislike Cruz. If, by God, he for some reason he gets the nomination and it's him and Hillary, I'm going to pull the lever for Cruz.
And I'll vote for Trump.
Yep.
You know, I'll vote for either one, whoever gets it.
All right. Well, good. Great call, Jenny. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Yep.
All right. Take care. Okay, so let's get back to, there's one other thing. We want to play the Lucifer thing? No, we're not going to play it because I'm sure everybody's already heard it. But Derek, let's go all the way down to track 5. And Trump came out this week and also had his foreign policy statement, his first foreign policy statement, because he said after he won the big five in the East Coast last week that he was going to release a series of statements and includes the one that I was talking to Ed earlier about. He's going to name his probable appointees for the SCOTUS, and he has promised that he will pick an appointee from that list that he's going to release here in a few weeks. And I think that will be a big turning point for guys like Ed who believe that, you know what, SCOTUS is a huge position for us. And if you're not thinking about that when you vote, you're crazy. And I understand that the Cruz supporters want Cruz because they feel he would be the best guy to make that choice, and maybe he would be. But let's jump back to the Trump foreign policy was released this week. And the guy that I consider the best foreign policy guy, and I would love to see him in an administration, even as a VP, is John Bolton, Ambassador John Bolton. And this is what he had to say about Trump's foreign policy statement this week. Go ahead and roll.
Both of them Fox News contributors. Mr. Ambassador, let me start with you. I know you are neutral in this race. You have not endorsed Donald Trump or anybody else. Did anything in that speech win you over?
Well, I thought it was a very strong and impressive speech. I thought that by coming back again and again to the point that what should be the lodestar of American foreign policy is protecting American core national interest, he was right on target. I liked his emphasis on the relationship between a strong American economy and our ability to have a strong presence in the world. I thought his analysis of the many failings of Obama, the Obama administration's foreign policy, was on target. And I thought that his observations about the need to have a strong military to help create the kind of structures of deterrence that avoid conflict were all—
Okay, so when John Bolton says the foreign policy statement is good, I'm going to believe it. So I think what you're going to see is more and more details come out. People have been wrapping all this up that Trump has not been detail-oriented enough. It's coming, folks. It's coming. I hope you're comfortable with it. I'm going to be looking at it as well. But make sure you're going to thedailydrift.com. I've got these stories up there. And remember, if you find a story on the internet, email me the link, would you? Gary@thedailydrift.com, and I'll put it up on the website so you can share it out and get on your social media accounts. Fight for your candidate, whether it's a Cruz or a Trump or even a Clinton. Get out there and be active this year. Take care.